Welcome to the world of Aeora, a news and lore podcast about the Pillars of Eternity games, as well as Obsidian Entertainment's upcoming release, Avowed. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the World of Aeora. I'm your host, Eric, aka Gingerino, and thank you guys so much for joining me on another episode where we dive into the history, lore, and game mechanics for the Pillars of Eternity games developed at Obsidian Entertainment. For those wondering why we pair Pillars of Eternity with Avowed, it's because they share the same fantasy setting known as Aeora. And so, as the theory goes, if we dive into the previous Pillars of Eternity games, we can gear ourselves up for the release of Avowed, have a little bit of knowledge of what the world is about and what we can expect, and understand who certain characters are, what these gods are, what animancy is, how the magic works, etc., etc. This week's episode is going to be featuring spoilers for Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire, for specifically the Forgotten Sanctum DLC. I won't be spoiling the main game, so if you're not worried about that, then you can continue listening. But if you are worried about some spoilers for the Forgotten Sanctum DLC, consider skipping part of this episode. It's going to be focusing entirely on the character of Lengrith, however. So I'm not going to spoil the narrative for the DLC, but I am going to spoil some things we learn about the character of Lengrith, which we discussed in the previous episode for this show. For those who might not remember, in the last episode, we discussed the Circle of Archmagi, which was a esoteric group of powerful individuals that had their fingers in some of the biggest events in Aeora's, planetary events, you could say. Lengrith was one of the members of the Circle of the Archmagi. So Lengrith is a archmage in the world of Aeora, very powerful, and one of the two main archmages in Aeora's lore that have found a way to try to become immortal, the other being Consulhot. Consulhot tries to go about it in a typical archmage fashion, which is to become a lich. Lengrith has a more unique way of going about it, and I tried really hard to describe Lengrith in the last episode without leaving any spoilers. But it left me feeling a little bit unfinished, like the episode was missing some of the good lore that exists here. And so I wanted this episode to focus on Lengrith and who Lengrith really is. So if you were listening to the last episode and you found yourself hungry to be like, who is Lengrith? What is this stuff that they were talking about, but Eric didn't want to reveal in the last episode? This is the episode for you, is where we're going to discuss this. There's no news today regarding Pillars of Eternity or Avowed. However, there is some Obsidian-related news. If you are a fan of Grounded or you've been looking forward to it, there's a couple pieces of news to know. One is that Grounded is supposed to release on September 27th. That will be the full 1.0 release. It'll be coming out of Early Access. As well, if I remember correctly, there is also supposed to be an animated series based off of the Grounded video game. That'll be interesting. I don't know how many people listening to this podcast will be into Grounded or not. I know it's not a isometric RPG or a fantasy kind of RPG, but, it is made by Obsidian, and I'm assuming a lot of us listening here like Obsidian stuff. So if that's your cup of tea, there you go. Grounded's got some stuff coming out. I, for one, am looking forward to it. I've played a little bit of Grounded in Early Access. I don't really like playing Early Access games. I'm even holding off of playing Baldur's Gate because I kind of like to wait till the thing is out completely. But I have played around with Grounded a little bit. And it's one of the more enticing games to me for that genre, which is something I'm not usually into. So, I do like the developers over Obsidian. I think they make great stuff. And so I think this might be that game that gets me into that genre because I trust those developers. So looking forward to playing it, guys, over at Obsidian. I can't wait to give it a shot, and looking forward to this animated series. I hope it's on a platform that I can access. That's it for today. Let's just jump right into the lore.
I'm curious, what exactly did you find there?
So to do a little bit of a catch-up on who Lengrith is, in case you don't remember from the previous episode, Lengrith is one of the members of the Circle of Archmagi, which we've already talked about. She is a female nature godlike, so that nature godlike is one of the races in the world of Aeora. A godlike person is someone who was blessed in the womb of their mother by one of the gods of Aeora. And blessed is kind of a subjective term. It could be considered cursed, depending on what society this person is born into. And anyways, the person that is blessed by one of these deities will be born physiologically different, and they will also have a unique power about them that is emitted like an aura. So a nature godlike is a person who is blessed by the god Galloway, Lord of the Hunt. And they typically have a lot of nature-y kind of things in their physiology. They could have vines for hair. They might have leaves or fungus growing off of them. They could have, deer antlers. In the case of Lengrith, she has kind of more what looks like, at least based on the picture, she has some sort of, I want to say more of an amphibian look to her. That's just kind of the vibe I get from looking at her. And this is the person that you interact with in Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2. Lengrith is part of the DLCs for both games. She's not in the base game for either Pillars of Eternity 1 or 2. You see her in the DLCs. And in the first game, you're a little more antagonistic towards her. You have a little bit more conflict with her than you do in the second game. For the Forgotten Sanctum DLC, you're actually working alongside her as well as Tain, one of the other members of the Circle of the Archmagi. Now, being a member of the Circle of the Archmagi, she has to have created a number of spells in her own name. And most of her spells are defensive. You have things like Lengrith's Displaced Image, Mental Shields, Physical Shields, Safeguard, Blunt Wisdom, Siphoning Image, Warding Staff, Dread Haze, and Superior Elemental Bulwark. Most of Lengrith's magic is defensive-based. And this makes sense, too, when you start to consider who Lengrith is ontologically. I don't know if that's the right word to use here, but Lengrith is a very interesting person. I've been referring to Lengrith as a she, but that doesn't really encompass what Lengrith truly is. The majority of this episode is going to be looking at the history of Lengrith's origins. And we're going to be reading from a 5-part volume of books that you can find in-game called The Annals of Lengrith. And what this does is it outlines who Lengrith is and how they came to be. But before I dive into these, let me give a quick synopsis of what Lengrith is. Lengrith is one of the archmages, as we discussed, in the world of Eora. And like Consulhot, another archmage that does exist, although he's not on the Circle of the Archmagi, Lengrith is trying to defeat death. Because, I mean, what do you do once you reach the top of the arcane world, right? You have nowhere else to go, no more ladders to climb, you've made a bunch of spells. What do you do with the rest of your time? Well, you defeat death, that's what you do. Consulhot, he goes about it by being a lich, essentially keeping himself undead forever, and binding his soul in a way that it cannot leave him, but also finding a way to keep himself alive of sorts and not decrepit and not rotting away in his own mind. Lengrith decided to go a different route. Now, Lengrith, as we know her in the game, is not actually the original Lengrith. The original Lengrith actually goes far back into the history of Eora. And this archmage from far, far back decided that what they could do is they could take their soul and they could essentially parasitically attach it to another person down the line, thereby keeping his memories intact and, in a sense, existing in the next person. And so that person shares all of the memories of Lengrith as the iterations of Lengrith carry on. In a good sense, it's kind of like defining it as a hive mind. It's almost like the Lengrith we know now in the game is, in a sense, communicating with the original Lengrith. She's still herself, she still has her own identity, but at the same time, she definitely has the identity of I am Lengrith. It's like a community of people talking amidst one another, even though they're only one creature at a time. And this is kind of why Lengrith, when you talk to her in game, discusses about how she communes with the other Lengriths that exist in this chain. Let's read from the lore directly in the game, The Annals of Lengrith, Volume 1 of 5. This is Lengrith writing down his thoughts, or her thoughts, we don't really know. The gods strip us of who we are on every turn about the wheel, mercilessly shaving off all we've learned with their divine lathes. We retain the pale shadows of our souls, but knowledge, memory, self, all of it is cut away. Do the gods fear we might someday rival their strength if we do not? So in this first part, we have the gods strip us of who we are on every turn about the wheel. In the world of Eora, the world runs on a cycle of reincarnation known as the wheel. And so that's what he's referring to here, is the wheel is turning and people die and the souls get reincarnated and they don't remember the memories and stuff from their previous lives. And that's what he means when he says, mercilessly shaving off all we have learned with their divine lathes. So you're living in the world of Aeora. You die, your body dies, the soul that you have leaves your body, goes into the capital B beyond, and eventually comes back, enters into a new body, and that's how a new person is made. But the soul doesn't carry on those memories to the new body. Your soul does remember them, sort of, but in order to bring them to the forefront of this new person in this new body, you have to have what's called a capital A awakening, which is usually not necessarily a good thing for you either. But your memories don't continue on through your reincarnation cycles. And even if they do, it ends up being to your detriment because it can drive you insane. And so that's why I think Lengrith is talking about this in a sad way, in a sorrowful way. He's looking at this as kind of a tragedy, that all these memories, all these things that you learn are lost upon death, even though your soul has to get recycled through the wheel. He says, "We retain the pale shadows of our souls, but knowledge, memory, and self all is cut away." And that's because, yes, your soul does continue on, and it does have the scars, if you will, of the previous lives. It does have some of the memories there, but it doesn't really transfer over, as we've discussed. And he reflects on the question of maybe the gods fear what the Kith creatures in the world will become. Kith creatures being, like, you know, dwarves, elves, and all that, the civilized races of the world. Maybe they fear what these Kith creatures will become if they did carry on all of these things they learned. I mean, imagine what you could do if you would die and then you're reborn again somewhere and you could just continue where you left off once you reached a certain age. You know, maybe the gods are afraid of what might happen. The Annals of Lengrith, Volume 2 of 5. "The trees of Eir Glanfath possess souls as strong as any kith, and their entangled roots extend for miles. But dig beneath any of them, follow these roots, and you'll see they don't end, but lead to a neighbor. They are many souls sharing one body. Why shouldn't willing kith be able to do the same?" So in this second portion of these Annals of Lengrith, we see here the trees of Eir Glanfath. Eir Glanfath is a region in the world. It's a part of the first Pillars of Eternity game. So if you haven't played the Pillars of Eternity game, all you need to know is that it's a region within the world, and it's a very forested region with very ancient trees. And from this piece of lore, we learn that these trees actually possess souls. That's plural. There's more than one soul in there. And that's a very interesting thing to note, that it's not just kith creatures, you know, humans, elves, dwarves, Orlans, Amauans, and godlikes. And it's not just those six races that have souls. Living creatures of all sorts have souls. And there's also, we can learn in other pieces of lore, ambient soul energy all around you. He goes on to say that it's been discovered that these trees, actually, if you dig down and you follow all their roots, they don't just entangle with one another, they actually lead into each other's roots, which means, in a sense, and this also I think is reflected in our real world to a degree, that forests are really like one organism. All the trees in the forests of Eir Glanfath, it's just one organism. All these different trees, they look like, oh, that's one tree, that's another tree, but actually their roots are all connected. And so in a way, it's just one body, but they're sharing many souls. And then he reflects at the end of this second volume, why shouldn't Kith be able to do the same? That is, have many souls within one body. The Annals of Lengrith, Volume 3 of 5. And by the way, I apologize if you can hear cars driving in the background. Like many people around the globe, there are heat waves going on. So I have the windows open right now because it's colder at night. So I apologize for that. The Annals of Lengrith, Volume 3 of 5. "A limb may be grafted from one tree to the trunk of another, and in time they'll bear sweeter fruit together than either might have alone. Mightn't it be possible, then, to graft a scion soul to the rootstock of a willing kith? The souls wouldn't fracture, but coalesce. They'd grow stronger together." So in this third portion of the Annals of Lengrith, he brings forth this idea of a limb of one tree being grafted to the trunk of another. And this is something that can actually happen. You can actually do this. If, let's say, a branch falls off a tree, or you want to take a branch off of one tree and put it on another, perhaps the tree itself is dying, but the branch is still alive, and you want to save the fruit that that branch would bear, you can graft it onto another tree. I'm not exactly sure how the science works or how the technique is done, but you can actually do that. You do got to cut pretty deep, and the further deep in you go with proper skill, the better the branch will take. And as a result, you save the branch and the fruit it can bear. He's saying in this case that to graft one branch from one tree into the trunk of another, they'll bear sweeter fruit together than they might have alone. And I'm not sure if that's normal when you graft into another tree, but perhaps that's because you've taken a branch from a weak tree and put it into a strong tree. And so obviously that branch was strong enough to survive on a weak tree. Perhaps it will do even better on a very strong tree. Maybe that's the logic there. But then he poses the question, might this be possible then to graft a scion soul to the rootstock of a willing kith? In other words, to take a piece of one soul, just a piece of it, and attach it to another soul, to the next one. So in a sense, if he is a tree and he wants to take out a piece of his tree body, which is his soul, and attach that to another tree, which is another soul, can't that be done? He says that the souls wouldn't fracture, which means that they would stay apart, but they would coalesce, much like how this new tree accepts this new branch. They grow stronger together. They coalesce. And so this is his theory, that if you take a piece of one soul and you attach it to another, they'll actually become one. They'll actually join and be stronger as a result. The Annals of Langrith, Volume 4 of 5. The gods see fractured souls, but they don't care for them. Damaged, broken people are abandoned by their makers to twist in the wind, given no succor, no relief. Would an intentionally fractured soul be similarly inconsequential to them? I will use their apathy against them. I will make their disdain serve me. So it's a little hard to understand necessarily, but what he's getting at here is his ability to potentially get away with becoming immortal, because he posits that the gods can see fractured souls, but they don't really care about them. When the gods of Eorah look at people, they see them through their souls, and you especially learn this through one of the characters in Pillars of Eternity 1, one of the companions, Durrance. If you get into his backstory, there's a bunch that you can learn about the ability for gods to look at people in the world, in the mundane physical world, and your soul has a lot with their ability to even perceive you. So the gods, apparently, they can see fractured souls, souls that are broken into pieces, but they don't really care for them, right? They're not full souls, so why should they care about them? It's just sort of like, you know, chaff in the wind. It's just dust on the ground. So they don't really pay attention to it. And Langrith, the original Langrith, says that he's going to use that to his advantage. He's going to use this idea that he can fracture a soul and not be visible to the gods as much to get away with what he wants to do. The Annals of Langrith, Volume 5 of 5. A grafted soul is obscured from the sight of the gods. It spreads freely like a blood fever, but it doesn't kill its host. No, I will be a fever of the spirit, invisible, unstoppable, eternal. And so there you have volumes 5 of 5 for the Annals of Langrith. In this last portion, what Langrith is discussing is he is basically restating what we've kind of were alluding to in volume 4, but he's stating it assuredly in volume 5, that if he takes his soul and he grafts a scion of that soul into another one, then the two will become one, and they will also share memories. And so in that sense, he's still living on, but in the next person, and he's able to share everything he's learned with that next person. And I think that the entire argument that is being founded upon with whether or not this counts as immortality is the idea that you are your memories, right? Langrith is betting on the fact that if his memories continue on into the next person, then he is alive. Because as far as he's concerned, if he wakes up with the same memories, those memories say, oh, I am this person, then wouldn't you identify as still continuing to be alive? It's a hard way to define immortality, right? Because you have the original Langrith, and he's going to die. That body's going to die. But he took a piece of his soul with all of his memories in it, and he passed that on to another person down the line. So that original Langrith died, but the soul continued on in another person as sort of like parasitically attached to their soul. And because the memories were shared, in a sense, Langrith continues to exist. And it would almost be like if you're looking through the eyes of your body right now, wherever you are, and then you died, but then you woke up in another body, and you were able to remember all of your previous life, and now you're also remembering this life that you're living. It's almost like you're living on, but you're in a new body. But you also, it's weird too, because when we start to get into how this works when you talk with Langrith in the game, Langrith, the person we talk to by the time of Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2, identifies themselves as Langrith, but also not as Langrith, which leads me to conclude that there's sort of a clash of personalities, or there's more of a uniting of different personalities. The original Lengrith is living on. Their memories are alive in other bodies. So in that sense, the person is still alive. But the Lengrith that you talk to in Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2, they recognize that they are a different person and that they have different feelings and they have lived a different life. So in that sense, they are also a different person. But they consider themselves Lengrith, and they say that they're constantly in communion with the original Lengrith, and so that way they are this person. It's a really weird concept to get your head around. The only other concept in the real world that I know of this, I think, is in the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. The idea of the Christian God is one where there is only one God. There's only one God, not multiple gods, but there are three persons, three separate personalities contained within the one God body. This is the only real world analogy that I can really draw it to, and it's just as confusing in either case. But regardless, this is Lengrith and how she is trying to overcome death and become immortal by fracturing the soul. The gods don't pay attention to it, and it's able to attach into the next person who will become Lengrith. Those memories are shared. The person continues to live in that way, even though this body is a separate new person. And that is how the chain of Lengriths go on. One day the Lengrith we see in this game will pass on and die, and then someone else down the road will become Lengrith. I hope I've been able to lay this out for you in a way that makes sense, because it can be kind of confusing to wrap your head around it. And I also have to say the word Lengrith 100 times, so it's easy to get lost in terms of which one am I talking about. So that's going through the Annals of Lengrith parts 1 through 5. If you go to the article for Lengrith in the Pillars of Eternity fandom Wikipedia, there is a write-up there as well that I'll read for you that if it didn't make sense before, maybe it'll make sense now. Lengrith is a force to be reckoned with, not only by her powers, but also by her strategy to preserve oneself and cheat death in a different way. The original Lengrith thought of something Consulhot did not. He realized memory and consciousness were insignificant when compared to one's knowledge, and sought to become immortal by creating a cult and preserving his expertise through time. At Morgech Ayn, the Watcher of Caednua, Morgech Ayn is a location in the game, the Watcher is you, the character, and Caednua is your stronghold. At Morgech Ayn, the Watcher of Caednua speaks to Lengrith that wasn't the first nor the last. Each new disciple gains the title of Lengrith by studying everything the original wizard has discovered, thus becoming the new Archmage. During conversations in the Forgotten Sanctum, the Watcher can gradually piece together the histories of Lengrith. Lengrith, you see, is not a person, but a memory passed on through acolytes and apprentices. The original Lengrith lives on by attaching himself to the soul of the most recent apprentice like a tick, though the current Lengrith assures the player it is nothing so dramatic as that. She welcomed him, fought for him, and insists that there is a symbiotic relationship, not a predatory one. And so there you have it. That is the person of Lengrith. That is how they are cheating death. This is the key thing about Lengrith that makes Lengrith Lengrith. That is the thing that I want to discuss in the last episode, but I didn't want to be too spoilery, because you learn this in the Forgotten Sanctum DLC by collecting the Annals of Lengrith and also having conversations with her throughout the DLC, and it's a fun concept to try to wrap your head around naturally as the game reveals it. So I didn't want to spoil it in the last episode, but I had to talk about it because I love it. It's a great concept.
Is an oath worth the weight of a crown?
So with everything that we need to discuss about Lengrith being out of the way, the only question to ask is, what does this have to do with Avowed? Here's the thing. Of all the Archmagi in the Circle of Archmagi in Eora, I think Lengrith is the one that arguably we might actually be able to interact with. Because more than one Lengrith could possibly exist at a time. Maybe. Maybe not. Now that I think about it, that might not work. But Lengrith has existed for a long time in different bodies, in different people. And so there's actually a decent chance that no matter the time that Avowed is set in, we should be able to interact with someone who is also Lengrith. Unless, of course, it's before the time of the original one. That's the only thing that could be relatable to Avowed. We'll be able to tell whether or not interaction with Lengrith is possible based on whether or not there are any spells named after Lengrith within the game. If we see anything like Lengrith's siphoning image, for example, then we'll know that obviously the Archmage was already in existence to create the spell. So there's a chance. I hope that we get to see one of the Archmages in Avowed, and Langrith is definitely a candidate for one of the most interesting ones, and also justifiably could be anywhere. That's all I have to talk about today, guys. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of The World of Eorra, where we dive into the Pillars of Eternity game lore, history, and mechanics to gear up for Avowed. I've been your host, Eric, aka Gingerino, and I'll see you guys next time.